Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double D Trailers. With over 25 years of experience in the horse industry, I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips, and insights into everything equine. Can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up and join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast.
Hi, guys. So today we have Phil Haugen Horsemanship on for our podcast. He has over 30 years of training experience and many notable accomplishments in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, and including the most recently being inducted into the North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that. And Phil, welcome to the
podcast. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Brad. I sure appreciate you having me on.
So can you share a little for our audience, a little more about your competitive background and really how you got into horse training? 30 years is a long time.
Yeah. So, you know, back when I was a kid, we lived in a kind of just a little rural area in Northwest North Dakota. That's where I was born and raised. Okay. And just lived on a small acreage. But I was very fortunate. I grew up in an area where there were a whole bunch of people my age, and we all just rode. You know, back in those days, I mean, there wasn't as many activities. There wasn't electronics. There wasn't as many things to put your time into, you know. So we all rode and went to school and played sports. I mean, that's all we did. And so it was just I was so fortunate that I grew up in that environment because, you know, it kept me out of trouble. And I did a lot with horses at a very young age. And then it just, you know, and then it just grew from there, you know. And so, and so then we started competing in small events there at our local fairgrounds. And then it led into high school rodeo and then college rodeo and then the professional level. And I was real fortunate in that, too, in that in the area I was from, there were guys that came before me that did really, really well. And they made the rest of us believe we could do it, yeah. You know. And so it's kind of like that old saying, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, it just depends on who you surround yourself with as far as realizing what you can actually do or what anybody can actually do. So it's no different than in any business. You know what I mean? It's the same. Doesn't matter if you're building trailers or training horses.
Yep, you know, good wisdom in some of what you said there. Let's see, a question that comes to mind. So how did you develop your philosophy on training through understanding in horsemanship?
Yeah, you know, so I've been doing this for a little over 40 years. I started training horses for the public when I was 16.
Wow.
And that's when my career started. But at that time, it was just a summertime job. You know, I didn't know anything about horses really, other than I could ride. You know, I could get on and I could ride. Yeah. You know, and really, it's kind of, you know, when they say ignorance is bliss, where you just start something and you really don't know anything about it, but you figure it out as you go. I mean, I really and truly, I think that's a great quality to have, you know, just get started, get moving, get to doing something, and you'll figure it out as you go. And that's kind of how my horsemanship journey has been. I've said it a million times, and you'll 100% understand this. You know, those people that I rode for that first decade, I mean, I should go find them all and give them their money back because I rode their horses, but I don't know that I taught them much. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know much.
Right.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of communication. It was probably a lot of manipulation, you know, just the old tug and pull and hope you go in the direction you're trying to go in, you know. And but great way to learn. And like I said, I really them for that first decade. I mean, anybody that's still around and listening, you know, I apologize, but, you know, it was just the way it was back then. I was just, you know, young and dumb and didn't know any different. But I think I don't care what we're doing. There's a progression in learning, and really some of the best learning you'll ever have is from the challenges and failures you go through as you're learning. That's right. That, to me, those are our best experiences, because I tell everybody all the time at my clinics, I've just learned a whole lot of things that don't work. That's how I've become more efficient. I mean, I'm going to say it's real similar building trailers.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to figure out. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a philosophy, but it's also understanding that, you know what, just keep showing up, keep trying. Good things will happen.
Yeah.
Good things will happen. You know.
So you mentioned philosophy. How does yours differ from the traditional training methods that are out there, and even the benefit? What does it offer to both horses and their owners?
You know, my philosophy's changed a lot over the years. And just like we talked about just a few minutes ago, early on, and this is kind of the era I grew up in, training horses was more of a manipulation process, you know, a leverage process of, if you pull hard enough and they go one direction, you know, then you've gotten the response you want. Well, now horsemanship is simply communication and leadership. It's the same philosophy that holds true in any other business in the world. You, if you're going to run a business, you need to be able to communicate, and then you have to have great leadership skills. Well, now in the horsemanship world, it's more about helping a horse understand the response we're asking for, and then rewarding them when we get the response. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean it's always going to be silky smooth. You're still going to have some moments where things aren't real pretty, right? But if you stay with that philosophy of communication and leadership, you know, eventually you're going to establish that communication with that horse, and that horse is going to associate you with being their leader and look to you for guidance. And when that happens, it's no different than an employee at Double D Trailers, the way they look at you.
Right.
It's no different, you know.
So it's like, you know, promoting an understanding between the horse and the human is really what it's all about. Do you have any specific examples or techniques or exercises you can tell the audience?
Well, the biggest thing is, and this is something I talk about at all my clinics and all my advances, is three things you have to understand. You know, number one, when you're asking a horse for a response, the first thing you got to do is say, what exactly am I asking for, right? What is the exact response I'm asking for? Because you can't be vague. If you're vague with how you ask for a response, you have to understand that the response itself is probably going to be vague, meaning a horse is going to be unsure of what exactly the answer is, correct? So what exactly am I asking for? And then number two, how can I ask in a way they understand? Because see, whether you're dealing with, you know, students, employees, horses, it doesn't matter. You're going to communicate with all of them a little bit different. So like at that moment, whatever horse I'm training, it's all about how can I ask in a way that this horse understands? And then number three, where's the release? The release being the reward, meaning if you tip their nose to the left and that horse follows that contact or that light pressure and they step their left front foot over to the left, as soon as they make that effort, I provide that release, because the release is what you teach. The only way a horse understands that they found the answer is through the release. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So it sounds like, you know, just having a strong foundation of trust and communication through that training process is key to it. Do you have some practical ways that, you know, an average horse owner can achieve this? Someone who may be green with horses?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I tell everybody in those situations is, you know, get someone who can mentor you, mm-hmm. get someone who can help you through. There's going to be challenges. Here's what is the Achilles heel in the training business is when you get into a situation where you have two frustrated animals, meaning a human and a horse, that does not end in a good result, right? I mean, it doesn't end in a good result when you got two humans that are frustrated and they speak English, so they can somewhat communicate. Well, when you have a horse that gets frustrated, they go into self-defense mode, self-preservation mode, flight mode, right? That's a reactive response. Well, you have to understand that as a human, we have to be the ones that keep our cool and keep trying to work through the process. Those challenges are the challenges that really frustrate and challenge green trainers, you know, trainers that aren't as experienced.
Sure.
You know, it's no different than you taking somebody into, you know, your facility and showing them a finished trailer, and you say, okay, now you go ahead and replicate that. Well, they're not going to have much luck. Why? Because they haven't had much experience, right? So it's the same way training a horse. But just like training a horse, building a trailer, just a step-by-step process, but you need to stay with the process. You don't put the roof on before you get the sides on.
Yeah. That makes
sense. Or maybe you do. I don't know. I'm not a trailer builder, obviously, but
yes,
I probably wouldn't.
Some of your advice could probably be applied to how to teach my kids to listen better. So maybe I'll have to read some of your courses.
Well,
let's see if it works.
I say, you know, I say this all the time about horses, Brad. You know, they've taught me way more than I taught them. And, you know, when you're dealing, when your business is to try to progress an animal in their training that's 5 or 6 times bigger than you and does not speak English,
right,
you will become a better communicator or you will go find a different job.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So in your business, you know, you are a horsemanship expert, got a lot of experience, and you have clinics and coaching courses. How would all these different forms of learning experiences, how can they benefit horse owners and their horses?
It gives them a system to follow. The biggest downfall in our industry with trainers, and everybody that handles a horse is a trainer, right? You're either going this way or this way in the training business. I mean, we're either progressing or we're headed the wrong direction. Well, it's just like goal setting. Goals are super important. You know, when you have a goal right here, that's, you got to have goals. But then we know we're right here, right? But there's got to be a roadmap or a system that takes us to the goal. The system is what's important.
Right.
The goal itself's great. Goals are great. But goals are just a wish if you don't have a plan or a system. So when you have, whether it's me, and, you know, I don't even call myself an expert in horsemanship. I am an aspiring horseman, and I'm trying, just like I just got done working a set of horses this morning. Every day, I'm just trying to get better.
Yeah.
That's what everybody in this industry is doing. But the way you get better is to have a detailed and specific plan that you follow. Because if you don't, you won't be consistent. And if you're not consistent, you won't produce a similar product. It, here again, it parallels what you're doing so much.
Great advice. All right, last question that comes to mind. So can you share one of your favorite success stories or a memorable experience in your training program? Maybe you made a significant impact on a horse's behavior or a relationship between a horse and its owner, anything, just kind of something specific folks can relate to.
Oh, man. You know, there's so many different situations that have been extremely rewarding. And the reason they're rewarding is because they were preceded by some tremendous challenges. You know, there have been, you know, one of my favorites is a horse that was actually given to me as a yearling, and he was a horse that I trained and then later went on to another competitor, and he ended up at the national finals, and everybody knows who Joe Beaver is. Last year that Joe Beaver went to the finals in the calf roping, he rode that horse with my brand on his hip all 10 rounds. And that was a real, that horse taught me a lot. His name was Murphy. And I tell you what, that horse didn't do anything to really knock your eyeballs out as far as being great, but he never did anything to hurt you. And I learned a lot from that horse in that he taught me just do your job. Just do your job, show up, do your job every day, and the success will come. And that everybody that rode that horse had a lot of success on him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and it was part of that made it real rewarding. I've been really, really fortunate to ride some great horses, great customers. I've had really, really good customers over the years, and they bred and raised a lot of great horses. But, you know, that horse was not anything special genetically. There wasn't really anything you'd recognize on his papers, but he was a winner. But he was a blue collar worker. He was a plain sorrel, and he just showed up and did his job every day. And boy, that horse, at that point in my career, that horse was such a blessing because he taught me a lot about, it's not about the flash. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep showing up. Keep showing up, do your job, the success will come. Yeah. Great horse. Great horse.
Great story. Phil, it's been a pleasure meeting you online, and I want to thank you for taking your time. Anything in closing you'd like to just throw out to the audience? Are you good?
I'll tell you what, a couple little things, you know. For everybody out there, just, you know, we live in a world now where there's so many resources. Doesn't matter if you're talking about horsemanship, looking at ordering a trailer, whatever it is, there's so many resources out there. Use your resources. You know, there's two things that everybody that's successful that you follow in the personal development space, two things they all have in common. They all have mentors, and they all have accountability partners. So, you know, I would tell everybody, use those. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're working on, you know, like I said, training horses, building trailers. If you're in a sport, if you're starting a new business, use it. Because we need everybody to be successful. That's why we live in the greatest country in the world.
Yeah. Good stuff.
No matter what we're doing.
Thank you, sir, for being a guest on our podcast. And I encourage our listeners to take a look at Phil's website. That's philhaugenhorsemanship.com. And for those of you who are wondering about that last name, it's H-A-U-G-E-N, philhaugenhorsemanship.com.
There you go.
Thanks so much, Phil. Have a great day, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Take care.
Yes, sir. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
All right.